If you've considered ED treatment but aren't sure if it'd work for you, Hims is here with the facts. Sildenafil, also known as generic for Viagra, can start working in as little as 30 minutes, reach peak effect in about an hour, and can last about 4 hours. Plus, 92% of Hims customers reported satisfaction with their results, based on an internal survey of 252 generic for Viagra users. Hims connects you with licensed healthcare providers online. Just complete an online intake, get reviewed by a provider, and if prescribed, get medication shipped discreetly to your door. Getting the care you deserve so you can feel confident and perform at your best should be simple. And through Hims, it is. Take the next step today at Hims.com. That's HIMS.com. Hims.com.
Prescription required. See Hims.com for details and important safety information. Sildenafil is the generic version of Viagra. Viagra is a registered trademark of Viatris Specialty, LLC. Hims is not affiliated or endorsed by Viatris. Customer survey may have been compensated for their opinion. Customers' results have not been independently verified. Individual results may vary.
Football on off the ball.
I've won a lot of penalties in diving, yeah. Yeah, quite a good few, yeah.
It's like the Lance Armstrong. The interview.
Oh, if VAR was around when I was playing, I wouldn't have had a career. That's how good I was at them.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll look back at last night's epic Champions League tie, which saw Bayern Munich eventually overcome Real Madrid. Arsenal squeeze into the semi-finals despite being held to a scoreless draw by Sporting. And can Irish players overcome big European deficits in the Conference League tonight? But first up, Bayern Munich are into the Champions League semi-finals thanks to a 4-3 win over Real Madrid at the Allianz Arena last night, which gave the German champions a 6-4 aggregate win. Arda Güler scored 2-4 Real, including a goal in the first minute when he capitalised on a mistake from Manuel Neuer. He also scored a free kick, which Neuer didn't cover himself in glory either. Kylian Mbappe scored his 40th goal of the season to give Alvaro Arbeloa's side the lead on the night. It levelled the tie at half-time. Alexander Pavlovic scored shortly after Güler had given Real the advantage initially. And Harry Kane got his 50th goal of the season in response for Vincent Kompany's side. Eduardo Camavinga was sent off late in the second half after receiving two yellow cards. And then Luis Diaz scored to give Bayern a one-goal advantage in the 89th minute. And Michael Olise wrapped up the night with a stunning left-footed finish in injury time. Harry Kane is set to play in his first ever Champions League semi-final, having missed the tie against Ajax for Tottenham back in 2019 due to injury. The England captain says last night's game was amazing to play in.
Yeah, what a special night. I mean, crazy game, to be honest. And obviously, being a quarter-final, being a big game like it was, to have the ebbs and flows and the highs and lows throughout the first half especially was pretty unique.
Bayern boss and former Manchester City captain Vincent Kompany was asked where the win ranks for him.
I've experienced so much as a player and this was incredible. So of course for Bayern Munich this game is an amazing feeling, but I don't think you wait for Real Madrid to then say, okay, this is going to be the best feeling. You have to get it out of other things as well.
So Bayern Munich will now play holders PSG in the semi-finals. Arsenal will face Atletico Madrid in the other last four tie. The Gunners have reached the semi-finals for the second season in a row. Arsenal drew nil-all with Sporting at the Emirates last night, but they went through 1-0 on aggregate thanks to their first leg win in Portugal last week. Manager Mikel Arteta says his side's mentality is incredible.
This league and this schedule takes the hell out of you, and it's very difficult to do what we've done. We are not perfect. We need to improve things, that's for sure. We recognise that. But let's value what these players have done because they deserve it.
Arteta added he feels the coverage of the Premier League leaders' season is unfair.
What are we talking about, guys? Please, enjoy where we are as a club. If someone doesn't want to do it, so be it. We are doing, enjoying a lot. And I feel huge gratitude for what the players are doing and our supporters.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, football broadcaster Dan Bardell joined Keith Tracy and Colin Buhig and wondered if the Premier League's in a bit of a crisis.
Is the Premier League in existential crisis there after the last two nights of Champions League offering?
I can safely say that I enjoyed watching the teams that were non-Premier League playing more than I did the Premier League teams.
That's very diplomatic of you.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, Premier League, unfortunately, is my bread and butter, so I've got to be careful what I say. But look. Last night's game, the Real Madrid game, Bayern Munich game last night, was absolutely incredible, wasn't it? And I think I think towards the end of the season, there's a lot going on, isn't there? So I'm hoping that the Premier League might follow suit and there'll be some really entertaining games, because for much as the season has felt like a drag in some ways and people are talking about the quality of football and is the Premier League as exciting as it used to be, you know, we're heading into the tail end of the season now, the business end of the season, and you've got a title race, you've got a good battle for Champions League football, you've got an exciting relegation battle as well, where one of the biggest teams or one of the big six, so-called big six, could end up getting relegated to the Championship. You've got teams kind of from 14th upwards looking like they could qualify for Europe as well. So there is an awful lot going on. So I'm hoping the end of the season will be more exciting than some stages have been so far.
Like, do you think that there is actually a problem? Like, all jokes aside about the Premier League and this, like, have we actually run away with ourselves, Dan, in saying that it is all set-piece heavy, that there is no excitement, that it is a dull product to watch at the moment? Like, because that narrative now, I felt it was simmering for a while, for a number of months. There was a quiet discontent about it, and now it feels like it's out in the open mainstream, particularly, say, this morning after what just happened, that, like, you know, this is problematic now and the Premier League needs to change.
I think people are running away with it a little bit because of the team that's top of the league and the way Arsenal play. And whatever you think of Arsenal, they're trying to win a league, and so far the position they're in, if the league ended now, they would win it, wouldn't they? So what they're doing has been effective. I think the difficulty is that the Premier League is kind of so big six heavy.
Yeah.
Have any of the big six really been fully at it all season? Liverpool have had open spaces all through their team throughout the entirety of the season. Chelsea are an absolute farce. Arsenal, like I say, have been winning by and large, but it's effective football. It's not particularly entertaining. Manchester City are coming alive now, but then they've had difficult moments this season as well. They've kind of tried to change the way that they're playing at times this season as well. So I guess because the Premier League is so heavily marketed around the big six, that's the focus. But there is other teams in the Premier League that, you know, are interesting, are a good watch. You look at teams like Bournemouth, like, it's such a shame Iriola's going, because the job he's done there, especially considering they lost their best player in January. Like, the football that they play is absolutely incredible. So I get it. I do think it's over-egged a bit, but it's definitely not the product that it once was.
Yeah.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app, and it's also on YouTube. Now, we'll have live commentary of Manchester City's clash with Arsenal from the Etihad this Sunday. It's 4:30. It's on Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Loud app. And before that, we have the Merseyside derby between Everton and Liverpool. The first at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Kickoff on that one is 2:00. One player who won't be involved is Hugo Ekitike. Liverpool have confirmed now that the France international suffered a ruptured Achilles during Tuesday night's defeat to PSG in the Champions League, which means he'll miss the World Cup. Ekitike has scored 17 goals in all competitions this season since he signed from Eintracht Frankfurt last July. Mohamed Salah will now deputise for the Frenchmen, with doubts over the fitness of Alexander Isak. Last night on the football show, football writer and broadcaster Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan and Arthur O'Dea, and he said Salah's physical capabilities are certainly on the wane, but that doesn't explain his poor form entirely.
Do you really believe Salah's been mistreated?
I think you'd be treated with more respect. Mistreated might be, it might be pushing it. I think there's more to it than just a physical decline. I think there is, like, it's happened so quickly that it doesn't really make sense that this is just a physical decline. Like, the way the team is now structured doesn't suit him the way it did suit him. So there are things that have changed in the team. And, you know, he does a lot of things now that don't even make sense in terms of being, in terms of a physical decline either. Because, like, you know, I think in a strange way, even for somebody as mentally robust as Salah, his kind of, he's hesitant, his touch is off. He does things that you kind of think, this is somebody second-guessing himself an awful lot of the time. So there's a lot of aspects there that you wonder might have been different with a different manager. Now, I saw Jurgen Klopp being interviewed, and he was talking about managing Salah and Mane, and he said he'd never seen a player like Salah. And he said to Peter Crouch, how do you feel when you scored a hat-trick? And Crouch said, well, we've got a hat-trick. I was like, you know, I'm done. My work is done here. And he said, Salah, when he scores the third goal, he wants the fourth, he wants the fifth. He's relentless. And he said, it's not always easy to manage people like that. Or is some, you know, he basically said, and he said, you know, if you want normal people, you get normal results. And Salah is not a normal person.
If you want to listen back to that now, you can do so in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Aston Villa have one foot in the Europa League semi-finals ahead of facing Bologna tonight. A 3-1 win in Italy last week gives them a two-goal advantage at Villa Park. With the team also fourth in the Premier League, midfielder Yuri Tielemans says the players are in a good moment, as they say.
We are aware of where we are. We know our qualities and we deserve to be there because we work hard for it and we got some really good results over the last few months. So we just want to keep it until the end of the season.
Striker Chris Wood believes he can help fire Nottingham Forest to Premier League survival and Europa League glory. The New Zealand international was forced to have knee surgery in December, but he is available to start this evening's second leg against Porto. It's 1-1 heading into that game at the City Ground. The winners will play Villa or Bologna in the semi-finals. Wood admits it's been tough watching from the sidelines.
It just didn't work out the way we wanted to. Had to do what we had to do, and at least we got an outcome at the end of it, and a goal to come back to, and luckily I've been able to come back with a decent amount of time to hopefully help the team in the running.
Elsewhere in the Europa League tonight, Celta Vigo trail Freiburg 3-0 with the second leg in Spain. Real Betis and Braga are level at a goal apiece. The second leg is in Seville. Crystal Palace are expected to guarantee their place in the semi-finals of the Conference League tonight. They lead 3-0 from the first leg against Fiorentina with the second leg in Italy. Manager Oliver Glasner says the return to fitness of striker Jean-Philippe Mateta is perfect timing for the season's running.
I wish for him, like for all the other players, that he will be called up by France and playing the World Cup, and then let's see what will happen. I'm very pleased to have him back and getting closer to his best fitness.
Troy Parrott's AZ Alkmaar have it all to do. They're 3-0 down against Shakhtar Donetsk ahead of the home leg tonight. AZ are looking to qualify for their third ever European semi-final and first since 2023 when they were beaten by West Ham. Meanwhile, Andrew Omobamadeli will be hoping that his Strasbourg side can overcome a 2-0 first leg deficit when they take on Bundesliga side Mainz. And speaking of all things Irish football, we have live commentary of Ireland's World Cup qualifier against Poland this Saturday from 3 o'clock. Stephen Doyle will be joined by former Ireland international Louise Quinn in the commentary box for that game at the Aviva Stadium. Ireland trained again today in Abbottstown in Dublin to step up preparations, and defender Chloe Mustaki says her side can take confidence from the win in Gdansk and the aim is to also improve this weekend.
They have to go for it. They absolutely have to go for it. So, yeah, we need to be tighter at the back and stop those moments that they had, kill the space in behind, and, yeah, also have confidence in ourselves. I mean, we dominated most of that game, and we need to, yeah, gain confidence from that and just find ways to just have composure when we get into the final third, to not give them those transition moments which they had. So, yeah, I think overall we're happy, but we can be better on Saturday.
And for your Irish football fix, the green scene with Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson return this week. And with the FAI and Hamer Halgrimsson trying to lure players from the Irish diaspora, the trio talked about the feeling of national identity.
The issue of where you feel where you're from or who you want to represent is quite a complex one. And to decide this when you're 15, 16, all the way to 21, 22, like, it is quite a difficult position to be put in. He who shall not be named Declan Rice, like, he done the three caps and then went and played for England. That was horrific. Like, that was one of the worst things I've seen ever in international football. But I do have some sort of, remorse from, as in, like, it's a difficult situation to be put in. Like, where do you feel where you're from? Like, some people don't feel that passionately or that patriotic about any country, no matter where they're from. You know, like, me personally, I was born in Scotland, grew up in England for a while, but I knew, and I remember Kevin Kilbane talking about this in the show, like, when he was growing up in Preston, like, the first thing you did was you watched the Irish football team. Yeah. And my earliest memories of living in Darlington were watching the Irish football team. So there was never any question, okay, I was never going to be good enough. But I was always thinking, I always had that connection to Ireland. Like, some lads don't. Like, Harry Kane could have played for Ireland. Jude Bellingham obviously could have played for Ireland. Harry Maguire could have played for Ireland. It's quite a complex thing to think about.
I completely agree, Jay. It's such a complex topic and it's really tough for a kid to have to, like, nail his colours to the mast, and especially, you say, one who grew up in England with English mates, but they've got Irish roots. And I always think of, like, the Jack Reed example of You know, growing up in Solihull and playing Gaelic football, growing up in a completely Irish family, like even Greece is a name. Like, yeah. But then he's going to school surrounded by English mates. Now look, they weren't all English. Like he went to school with Aoife Mannion. A similar situation. He played for England all underage level and then ended up declaring for Ireland when she got to senior level. So, you know, to ask a kid of 16, 17, 18 years of age to say, what nationality do you feel? I think people of dual nationalities will know that, you know, you could be aged 30 or older and you still aren't really sure what your main nationality is or where you feel your allegiance lies with. So to ask a kid and to kind of criticize a kid and lay it on them for it, is really hard to do, except for the Declan Rice case. Playing three times for a senior team, that's a different story now, lads.
If you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. And before we go, don't forget we have live commentary of tomorrow's Dublin derby between Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians from Tallaght Stadium from 7 o'clock. It's on the Go Loud app and on Off the Ball on News Talk. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow, including all the build up to the games in the League of Ireland.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.